Hello, Northumberland County, and welcome to Reality Realty Northumberland, 89.7 FM's real estate talk show, where we take on, we talk about, and we interview guests on all things real estate with a direct focus on Northumberland County and the communities within it. I'm Dale Bryant, and I'm a real estate broker, and my co-host is Dave Smith, certified home inspector. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dale Bryant.
What's new with you, Dave?
It is sunny. It is beautiful. It's my favorite month of the year, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, you know, I'm working at the office yesterday. We got an office in the mall, and whenever I went up to the front desk and I'm looking out those glass doors, I'm just surprised at how many people yesterday were wearing shorts.
Well, I was in a big vacant building in Toronto at a real estate show. That was pretty exciting, and there wasn't a window to be found, so I have no sympathy for you whatsoever.
Well, I wasn't really looking for it.
Well, I thought you were complaining that you're inside and you weren't outside wearing shorts. No one wants to see you outside wearing shorts, Dale.
I have those.
You have admirers?
Fish white legs. Anyways, Dave, today's show, we have a very interesting show, very informative show. Recently, I've been reading the blog articles of a real estate sales representative here in Northumberland County. Her name is Erin Toms, and she's a sales representative from Northumberland Hills Realty, and she's been a busy blogger, writer of articles, and there's some great articles for the general public to learn more about the real estate industry and how to be better prepared to succeed in this competitive market. So we'll be taking a look at a three-part series that Erin wrote about recently. We'll also cover our home inspection tip of the week. We'll take a look at a snapshot of today's real estate market in Northumberland County, and we'll do our points to ponder. So how about the tip of the week, Dave?
Well, I mean, let's face it, this is why we're here, right? The home inspection tip of the week. It's why we all gather here every week around our radios.
Yeah, we love you, Dave.
Well, I appreciate that, Dale. My home inspection tip of the week is, and I like to be dramatic, I'm trying to build drama in the show.
Oh, you build drama wherever you go, Dave. Don't worry.
Windows are the eyes to the soul of your home. Do you like that one? I like that title.
Once again, purely poetic.
It is. Yeah. Windows need to be babied. They need to be cleaned, and they need to be lubricated in your home twice a year, as they can be a very expensive repair or replacement. I see it all too often. New windows. I rarely see windows that are maintained in that fashion. As a matter of fact, I will compliment you and give you full credit for this. I recently did a home inspection for one of your clients, and the windows were impeccable. And they're such an expensive repair. The parts are often hard to get, although there are resources for it. So you need to look after these windows. When it comes to replacing them, you know, you can get some value out of, if you have to replace windows that are damaged or older in your home, if they haven't been maintained well. They can be a selling feature for an older home, but don't expect the return on investment on newer windows in an older home that you might expect to see in a kitchen or a bath remodel. Yes, there is some value there, but the goal really is to maintain what you have, because people expect to have windows when they buy a house, and that's often sort of the bellwether on whether or not you are going to get good return on investment when you do sell a house after improvements. So what can you do? These are some things you can do to protect the investment of the windows in your home. Window caulking. For about $4 a tube, you can save an entire window from irreparable exterior damages that may in time demand replacement of the entire window. And please remember that 100% paintable acrylic is your best choice to caulk a window on the outside, and for that matter, on the inside as well. Bear in mind, a south-facing 6-foot window, by example, can expand and contract 3/8 of an inch, or for the younger folk out there, not included in this group, Dale, but a 1 centimeter daily, they can expand and contract. So you need a real elastic type caulking on the exterior of a window. Clean the tracks in the windows. I like to tell my clients Easter and Thanksgiving, remember those dates. They're just before and just after the warm season. So it's a great 2 weekends to remember. You've got 3 days. We've talked about this before, and they are easy dates to remember. A tight-fitting, high-efficient window has low tolerance for dirt by design. There is very little place in there for the dirt in the tracks or between the windows, so you want to keep them clean. Airborne dirt sticks to the window and gets washed into the tracks of the windows on the outside and on sliding doors, patio doors, by rain, and condensation on the inside. And that dirt makes them harder to open and close and slide. It'll lead to premature stress and inevitable break to the hardware. And lubricate your windows at least yearly after cleaning. don't use a WD-40. In my opinion, it tends to stick dirt to the surface. It's a great penetrant, but not a great lubricant, and there is a difference. A great choice is a product called Slick and Shine. You can find it just about anywhere, maybe in the automotive department of most hardware or, you know, your big brands. It's a silicone lubricant that made its name as a great lubricant for automotive weather stripping around sunroofs and around your windows. So it is a great product.
But doesn't that make it hard to see out of them, Dave?
You're just doing the tracks, Dale. I'll do a part on how Dale Bryant needs to lubricate a window. And bear in mind if you're going to be putting any sort of that darkening stuff, the tint that you put on windows, you be very careful when you do that, because it can drastically increase the window in a thermal pane and actually cause a lot of premature aging on windows that are thermal pane. So windows, the eyes to the soul of your home, my home inspection tip of the week.
And another neat thing we talked about windows just a couple weeks ago, Dave, is if you've lost a seal in some old windows, you don't necessarily have to get them replaced. There's a local company in Peterborough who comes in and cleans out between those two sheets of glass, cleans out, reseals, and fills it back up with gas.
Yeah, and I specifically left that out because that was going to be my next tip of the week. But thank you, Dale, for bringing that up without the valid backup information so that our listeners can hear. But that's great. Thanks.
I'm looking forward to next week's tip of the week, Dave.
Thank you, Dale.
So let's take a look at Snapshot. And Snapshot is a look at today's residential real estate market here in Northumberland County, just one of them. The listings have sold over the past month, Dave. They've just been growing and growing and growing. We had 127 residential listings sell this past month.
27% increase over 4 weeks ago.
Is that off the top of your head?
Well, I can compare 127 to 100 and come up with 27%.
Good. So our spring market certainly hasn't slowed down yet. And listings for sale today, we would refer to that as our present inventory, and we have 388 residential listings on our board today. The average listing price of homes that have sold over the past year has been $304,000 in Northumberland County. So that's been the listing price, and of the successful sales, people have been receiving on average $294,000. So they've been receiving 96.8% of their asking price. That's remained the same. The percentage of purchase price compared to the list price. But what is changing over this spring market is the market time. And we're now down to 79 days on the market over the past year. If we take a look at the absorption rate to find out, are we in a buyer's market, a balanced market, or a seller's market? We are presently at 33% absorption rate, which we're well within a seller's market. Traditionally speaking, anything above 20% is considered a seller's market. So if you're thinking of buying or selling a home, and you'll want this information to be specific to the price band you're looking at, to the area you're looking in, the type of home even, if it's a century home or a modern home. And so talk to your realtor to understand the market information that's most relevant to you. And these statistics and the information required to calculate the absorption rate come to us from the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors. And Jeanette and Lynn keep us local realtors right up to date. Thank you to Jeanette and Lynn. Today's mortgage rates, they've remained the same. The best five-year fixed is still at 2.49%, and the best five-year variable is at 2%. And these mortgage rates come to us from Carol Ann Bryant, mortgage broker, right here in Northumberland County, and she is with the Mortgage Wellness Group. So, Dave.
Dale.
Yes. Points to ponder.
Yes.
Favorite segment?
Well, it is when I do it. Not to be, you know, self-promoting, but I prefer it when I do it.
Well, then I'll get you involved. What do I got? So I was, you know, it's a bit tricky sometimes to figure out what we're going to do on points to ponder. So this week
You haven't had a lot of time to ponder in the last 6-8 weeks.
Not a lot of time, no.
Not a lot of ponderance.
So I Googled real estate and I Googled.
You cheated.
And I Googled news in real estate. And some of the news topics in real estate from CBC and Global News and the Financial Post, they're all on about foreign investing in Canadian real estate. And they've been on about that for some time now, for months and months. The CBC already had an article on, it was titled, "Has Never Seen This Kind of Activity." And it was about different parts of Ontario who are reporting on real estate activity like they've never seen before. And really, that's what's characterized the market here too. We've been so busy. We had the usual drone real estate where people are talking about the drones. And the Toronto Star talked about Toronto being the hottest city in the world for real estate for the ultra rich. And they refer to them as the HNWIs, the high net worth individuals. So I thought about that. I thought about the high net worth individuals and the ultra rich and just see.
That isn't us though, just to clarify. We're not promoting ourselves. Yeah,
well, I don't think we have to even clarify. But anyways, I thought about, what about Northumberland County? What about our high-end market and our luxury market? So I thought I'd take a look on the board and take a look at some stats. And I noticed that residential homes that sold over the past year for over $500,000. What do you think, Dave? How many?
How many homes over $500,000?
Yeah, in the past year. Ballpark.
Ballpark?
Yeah.
In Northumberland County, I will say there was 272. Oh, well, I did.
65 homes. Oh. So, I mean, we don't have a lot of them.
It was a good guess, though.
We don't have a lot of them, necessarily, that are up for sale. Residential homes that sold over $750,000. We had 9 homes.
Okay.
Residential homes over the past year that sold for over $1 million.
Yes.
How many?
I was a little off on the last one by 400%, so I'm going to go low on this one. I'm going to say there was 9.
No, Dave. I love just saying, no, Dave. Yeah. There was one. We only had
one.
We only had one.
I think I inspected that house. I inspected
over
that
a million. So then I thought, let's take a look and see what's actually for sale today. Because, you know, when you have a luxury home, a high-end home.
Yes.
You need to expect that the market time is going to be a little bit longer than the affordable homes that the masses are buying. So I thought, how many are actually for sale? And compare those numbers to what sold last year. So for sale today, over $500,000. We have 96 homes on our board for sale over $500,000. We have 28 homes for sale over $750,000. I'm personally a little bit surprised that the number was that high.
I obviously have no idea, so it's not really fair for me to be surprised.
That's why. But you said you like being involved in Points to Ponder.
I do. I love Points to Ponder when I do it. I think I do forgot that part of it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Well, you're doing it today. And so I'm going to ask you one more question. Yeah,
please.
Okay.
Please do. We're having a great time with this one so far.
I know you're loving this. How many homes do you think are for sale today, Dave? Over a million, for over $1 million.
I'm going to go with 7.
You're really close.
Would you please? I don't have a drum.
Almost half of that. but really, you're close.
I'm an optimist.
There's 4 homes for sale, and one of them is actually at $2.5 million.
Wow.
Is the asking price. So
that isn't Chateau Bryant, is it?
No. It's not my house. It's not any member of
never been to your house, Dale.
It's not any
You've never
member
invited
of,
me to your house.
No, I know. And you have asked to come over, haven't you? So anyways.
I volunteered to work at your house and you just still didn't have me come there. I noticed.
It's just timing. Yeah. It's been a crazy
spring. It's been a crazy 3 years.
I don't even get to my house. So I thought, you know, when we look at snapshot on the residential market, we always look at the absorption rate. So I'm just wondering, is it a buyer's market? Is it a balanced market? Is it a seller's market in the high-end and luxury market? And over the last year, the absorption rate has been anywhere from 2% to 5.6%. So it's definitely a buyer's market. So when you list one of those high-end homes, the reason your market time is a little longer is because we just don't have as many buyers,
the client base,
as we do the inventory necessarily.
You always bring something special to the table, Dale, and Points to Ponder.
And you know what? I just quickly did another little research, and I thought, because the competition between Port Hope and Coburg, I thought, who has the most?
Yes,
it was pretty much a draw.
So thanks for bringing that to the.
Thanks for bringing a tie to the
forefront. Are you a soccer fan too, Dale, or football as they like call it?
World Cup, yeah.
Thank you for the Points to Ponder, Dale. Thank you. This is Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio. Join Dale and myself and hopefully someone else, Aaron Toms, real estate sales rep with Northumberland Hills Realty, about the different levels of service that exist between realtors and the buyers and sellers. Come on back.
The story you are about to hear is true. Ed White, you saved this guy $20,000?
I fixed his refrigerator.
And?
So his wife doesn't need a new one. She doesn't get a new fridge. She doesn't need a whole new kitchen to go with it. I saved them $20,000.
Save big bucks. Call Ed White Appliance Service in Port Hope, 885-7109.
Yes, it is worth fixing.
Steel Dealer Days have landed. The perfect time to shop for the number one selling brand of handheld power equipment in Canada. With blowers starting at $179.95, grass trimmers $139.95, and chainsaws $199.95. Not at the Home Depot, not at Canadian Tire. Visit your local Steel Dealer for expert advice, on-site service, and Canada's number one selling brand of handheld power equipment.
Steel Dealer Days.
Visit Gilmer's Home Hardware Building Center at 177 Toronto Road, Port Hope, for expert steel service.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk. Our guest today is Aaron Toms. Aaron is a realtor with Northumberland Hills Realty, and Aaron's been licensed in real estate since approximately February 2008. She was born and raised in Port Hope and is now living in Cobourg. She's a wife, she's a mom of three teenage sons. She's an ongoing caregiver of numerous stray animals, as I know perfectly well. I've seen them. And as well as underdog type pets and rescue pets. Erin, welcome to our show and thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, Dale.
You're very welcome. Erin, I've been reading your articles and your blogs, and they've been really informative. And I'm just curious, what drove you to start writing these articles?
I think for me, it was mostly just getting a lot of calls from signs or ads in the paper, online, that sort of thing. People calling me directly rather than going through another realtor and contacting.
So it was an actual issue then that motivated you to start writing about it and clarifying the issue.
Yeah, I guess it was. I was just kind of wondering why people were opting to not have representation for themselves.
And that's exactly what we're talking about today. We're talking about buyer representation, where a realtor represents a buyer versus the buyer finding the homes for themselves and just using the realtor to view the home and then write up the offer, the same realtor as has it listed. Why do you think, Aaron, people choose not to commit to a specific realtor, but rather use the listing realtor to view the home and put in their offer?
Well, that's kind of a question I asked myself and didn't know the answer to. So during one of my showings with a buyer who had called on the sign, I asked them that directly. And they told me it was they didn't need representation because they knew what they were doing and they wanted to save some money.
So what? Yeah, they knew what they were doing. Yeah, that's taking all the courses, doing real estate every day, thinking about real estate. Even in our off time, there's plenty to learn, isn't there?
Oh, there's. It's ongoing.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think it's fair to say you didn't necessarily agree with that stance. You didn't necessarily agree that someone who really had little or no training and certainly not a day to day life might not be as well prepared to do this on their own.
I agree with that to an extent. I do think there's people that are knowledgeable and are capable of representing themselves. I don't agree with the saving money, but, everybody's entitled to complete a transaction the way they wish. And, you know, as a realtor, we have an obligation to, inform them of the different levels of agency. So
I think about one of the trickier things there is the contract language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you start to represent and warrant that things will survive and not merge. I mean, what in the world does that mean to the average person? And there wouldn't need to be much of a change to mean something very different, would there?
No, not at all.
No.
Well, I mean, we've had other realtors on the show where they've talked about the offer to purchase being a one- or two-page document 25, 30 years ago, and now it is not. So just in the vastness of it and the legalese of it, even if you could do that 15 or 20, 25 years ago, things have changed. Legalities have changed, and the language has changed. So it's a scary thing. I really think I'd rather fill my own teeth than try to purchase a home on my own. By the way, I've read your articles in preparation for the show, and that might come as some surprise to not only you but the listeners that there is preparation for the show. Is that fair to say, Dale? As Dale's sitting there looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking
about. There's a lot of preparation.
Yeah, there's a lot. But I read your, and I really, really like them. I've got to say, you are a gifted writer, and you write in a style that makes the topic real. I enjoyed everything that I read, and I thought it was great. I really did. I thought you did a great job on it. What else did you write about? I think you wrote an article about people choosing to not commit to a specific realtor, but just simply using the listing realtor to view the home and put in an offer. And so what, just to define that, as you so do so well in your writing, basically what I'm doing is I'm approaching the house, I'm knocking on the door, and I see the sign on there. I see Aaron Toms on the listing, so I phone you up and I want to buy the house. So I'm not even involving, I don't have anyone representing myself at all. Right? I'm just going in as Dave Smith buying a home.
That would be customer service. So, you know, there's a difference in the level of service you're going to get with customer service. You know, we have to be fair and we have to be honest and we have to deal with integrity. But we are representing the seller. So we have only the seller's best interests at heart. So,
right. So the sellers, just to be clear here, then I'm the buyer. You're representing the seller. You've got the house listed, but you know your first is to the person that you've actually entered into the contract to sell their home.
Right, because we have an agency relationship that defines what I'm going to do for them and how we're going to represent their interest. So if someone approaches me directly but doesn't want me to represent them as well, then I'm strictly representing the seller at that point, and they're kind of on their own. Like I can't advise them on price. I can't advise them with negotiating tactics or anything like that. They're doing that by themselves. I'm basically preparing the paperwork.
Whereas I'm bringing Dale as my representative as a buyer. Dale comes in, and now Dale has the ability to do things that I may not even be aware of. Is that, now he's acting on my behalf.
Yeah, he's representing your interests.
Right.
What are some of those benefits then, Aaron?
Well, if you commit exclusively to a realtor to represent you, they're going to do a lot more work for you. You've got that commitment from them. So they're going to be looking out for your best interests. They're going to do a little extra legwork to find out, what you should or shouldn't be doing. They can then say, in terms of negotiating, help you decide on, an appropriate price. And if they feel that, you could get it a little bit lower, they're going to advise you on that. So whereas if I'm representing the seller, I can't do that.
You can't do that.
Yeah. And a neat thing to just validate what you just said there, Aaron. I remember showing some people around a couple years ago. I was showing them around. They were from out of town, pardon me, and we were looking at different homes. And then all of a sudden, our communication just stopped. When I would email them or try to contact them, they weren't returning calls or emails. And so after some time went by, I just was curious, did these people now live in Northumberland County? And they, in fact, did now live in Northumberland County. So I took a look at the home they had bought, and I could see the history of that home. They dealt with the listing realtor. And that listing had been up for sale several times for years. It had such a long history, yet they paid very close to the asking price. And I just wonder, did they ever ask about the history, the sales history on that home? Did anybody ever let them know that they might have been in the driver's seat a little bit more than what they thought they were?
And that's kind of the disadvantage to the customer service is that listing realtor doesn't owe them that. They're confidential to their client, which would be the seller.
Yes, it's a really touchy subject. Now, prior to January 1st, 1995, the buyer and realtor relationship in Ontario was very different to what it can be today. Can you tell us a bit about that?
That was kind of the beginning of the buyer representation agreement. It was like the way it was before 1995, the seller was the one who was being represented. The buyers didn't have that right to representation.
By both realtors?
Yes. And it was, due to the fact the seller is the one who's paying the commission on the sale. So they're the ones who deserve the representation. And then in 1995, they brought out the buyer agency agreement and things started changing a bit. So
So that was a great thing for the buyers. So, I mean, buyers reluctant to want to enter into an agreement with a realtor to be represented are really missing a boat.
Yeah, as that was brought out to protect the buyer. You know, if you go to the mall and you want to buy a pair of shoes, you do so with the help of a sales associate. You might spend $80, $100 on a pair of shoes, and we don't think twice about getting help. But we're investing hundreds of thousands of dollars, and people are still really hesitant about the buyer agency agreement. And to me, that just doesn't make sense.
Mm. Yeah, good.
So you also had a blog article about a code of ethics that realtors are obligated to adhere to. Can you just give a few highlights on that article? Because I really enjoyed that one.
That adheres that we're professionals, right? We're like, we want to maintain the professionalism in our industry. So we all take the code of ethics very seriously. And, you know, it kind of just scopes out what we owe to our, whether defines, they're clients or customers, and it defines what we are responsible for. So
yeah, and there's a lot of fiduciary responsibilities, both in a customer service and in a client agency relationship. But when we actually have that agency relationship, that client relationship, we need to be looking for representing those people as though we're representing ourselves, don't we, Aaron?
Mm-hmm, we do.
Yeah, I think people would be surprised at the commitment level that we owe our clients.
Based on this, because of this code of ethics.
Exactly.
This is Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Join Dale and me after this short break. We'll continue to talk with Aaron Toms about the buyer representation agreement and the difference between a buyer agency relationship and a buyer customer service relationship.
Hello, my name is Victor Svenningson, and I want to invite you to Northumberland Live this coming Saturday at 7 p.m. Ed Stevenson and the Paco Band, live from the Living Arts Center. Come and listen to some amazing flamenco guitar player and a fabulous band on Truly Local Radio 89.7.
That does not sound good.
I know. And who are you?
I'm the Midas Touch, and I think you need me.
It's that bad?
Not for long. Head to Midas for a comprehensive brake system evaluation, and if needed, we can install brake pads and shoes that come with a lifetime guarantee. How's that sound?
Like sound advice?
Nice one.
Visit Midas at 6 Strathy Road in Coburg for great customer service from licensed Midas mechanics. For details, give them a call at 905-372-1959.
Trust the Midas Touch.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk. We're just picking up from where we left off last segment with the hardworking and insightful wife, mother, realtor, blogger, Aaron Toms.
Aaron Toms, I have a question for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Can you tell us about the buyer representation agreement? What is this? What is this thing?
Well, I'm going to say a very scary word. It's a contract.
Dun, dun, dun. We need more sound effects.
I know. We'll work on it.
It's a contract between a client and a realtor. And what it does is it outlines the terms of the agreement. So it'll outline how long somebody's going to be working with somebody. It'll outline the duties that they're expected to perform and et cetera. So it's, you know, and it'll also state any fees that are to be paid, anything financially is in that contract. So.
Okay, so you did say that it'll outline how long it's good for. So it'll clearly define, are these agreements, are they 3 months, 6 months, is it a year?
That's something that's negotiable, and that's the good thing about a contract is, you know, all these things are agreed upon between the client and their realtor. So there's no set or a definitive timeline that these go on for. That's something you negotiate when you're drawing up the agreement.
Would there be a reason why you would say go with a shorter time frame or a longer time frame? Like Dale mentioned earlier about $1 million properties. So understanding that the marketplace for $1 million property may be a very narrow band of possible buyers. So would that be a situation where you might enter into a longer agreement based on the realities of this property may take longer to sell? No,
I wouldn't think so, because
There's lots on the market.
Yeah, there's lots on the market, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
So what would be then short? What would be considered, or why would you go with a short-term one then?
What do you think are the most common terms, Aaron, like geographical area, length of contract? I know it's all negotiable, but what do you think is, just for listeners wondering, what should I expect, you know, a window of what I should expect?
Well, every realtor is different. I typically will do mine for about 3 or 4 months and then, you know, hoping that we can find something within that timeline. And then if we don't, then we can, you know, extend that further at that point. But I typically do mine for about 3 or 4 months.
I mean, it's different, too. If you have people from Toronto, GTA area, and they can only get down here every now and again, and you've likely worked with people for 2 years plus from out of town, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and I have some locally that I've worked with for several years as well. So, every so often we do go through and upgrade our paperwork. But
yeah, exactly. And it really doesn't hurt at all, does it?
No.
All right. So the buyer representation agreement basically is just a contract, as you say, between does it offer exclusivity? Could I enter into a contract with Aaron and enter into a contract with Dale as well? Or is it designed to be an agreement between?
It's an exclusive agreement between a client and a realtor. And it's an agreement that provides security so that you know by signing that I'm going to do everything in my power to, you know, follow your best interests. So, and to make sure that I'm doing my job. So it's security for a buyer as well.
Okay. So what if things just aren't going well between you and I? What if I'm just not happy with the performance and I'm not as proactive. I'm not doing the things I promised that I would do as a seller or as a buyer, I should say, showing up to showings that you've arranged, this sort of thing, whatever. Is there a mutual way of basically voiding that contract?
So I think what you're trying to say is if you were locked into a contract with Dale, yes, and you decided you wanted,
because this would never happen with Aaron. That's
right. You would be very unhappy. So you're going to...
I like this girl.
And I invited Aaron.
So you're going to ask him to release you from that contract. And chances are he's going to. Because if you're not liking working with him, he's probably not liking working with you. So you're going to release each other from the agreement. And you're going to go on your merry way and find somebody you are compatible with.
Because we've talked about this many times. This is such it truly is a relationship. It's a very close relationship, a very intense relationship, stressful, and it ties up all of your life. So it has to be a relationship that works.
I would hope it wouldn't be stressful, though. That's kind of the point of having a realtor. Well, I mean, more from some of that stress.
I'm
away.
Speaking more of the stress on the family. You know, if you've got kids involved, or you've got family involved, or there's been a death in the family, and there's already stress brought into the relationship of selling the home. And for some, selling a home is a very stressful time just unto itself. I didn't mean stressful between.
This is why
two.
You need a realtor, because you have to remember right now you're buying a home.
Right.
and the other
thing, I didn't read the script.
The other thing to keep in mind as well is any of these contracts between a brokerage and a buyer or seller is actually that. It's between the brokerage. It's not between that actual realtor. So if things aren't working out with, let's say Realtor A, if things aren't working out with Realtor A, and that buyer says, you know what, I would just like to be released from this. I was sort of thinking the chemistry would be a bit different. I had different expectations. The brokerage might encourage you to look at one of their other many realtors that you would work out better with. There would be a better fit because, after all, that contract is with the brokerage.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Aaron, if you sign a customer service, a buyer representation agreement, so you actually have an agency agreement, what's the difference between that, again, I know we touched on it, and just having them as a customer?
Well, with a customer, you're not owed the same duties. So, I mean, we have to be fair, honest, and operate with integrity. So, but we don't have to disclose, like, we have to disclose every known fact, but we don't have to disclose to you that we think the seller may take less. You know, we don't oh, if I think you're going to pay more for the property, I have the right to tell the seller that I think you're going to pay more for that property. So I'm not owing you any confidentiality like I would be if you were under a buyer representation agreement.
Right. And but you know what? You pick a realtor to work with. You sign a buyer representation agreement and you commit to work with them. That realtor commits to work with you in that agency relationship. But multiple representation can still occur.
It can.
So what can you explain what multiple representation is?
Multiple representation is actually rather tricky. Oftentimes, both parties aren't getting the full representation they would had this situation not occurred. We can't really advise on, you know, negotiating the price. Like, we can't say, oh, you know, the seller, I think, will go down a bit more, or, oh, I think the buyer's going to come up a bit more. We're kind of just the man in the middle there.
So if I could, sorry, if you could just define what you mean by multiple representation, just so that I fully understand it, because I'm not very bright. When you say multiple representation, are we talking about what do you mean by multiple representation, I guess, is the question.
Okay, say we were working together and we had a buyer agency agreement signed. The house that you want to buy is also a listing that I have.
Okay, so it's your listing and you're acting as my buying agent.
That's right.
Okay. Sorry, I just so I had it sorted in my mind.
So anything that we do with multiple representation really has to be disclosed in writing. So all parties have to agree to that. And then if one doesn't, someone has to be released. And multiple representation doesn't only occur with that realtor. As Dale touched on earlier, those contracts are with the brokerage. So even if, you know, Dale and I are working for the same brokerage and you're my buyer and we're buying one of his properties that he has listed, we're still dealing with multiple representation.
Okay.
Because
the contract is with the brokerage.
Right.
Because even though Aaron has, or even though I have that property listed, if Aaron belongs to the same brokerage as I do, she too is representing my sellers. Everybody in that brokerage is representing
all the clients.
All my sellers, all her sellers.
Wow. Okay. I'm actually glad I asked that question. Every 7 or 8 shows, I ask an intelligent question, and I think that was one of them.
Would you
put that up on the board for me there? Just put a – yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that big white empty board. So Aaron, you have a multiple representation situation, and how do you – okay, you said you need to make everybody aware of it. How would you make people aware of that? Is there a document? Do you just have to give them a phone call? What goes on there?
No. There's on the agreement of purchase and sale and on the confirmation of cooperation and representation, there's consent for multiple representation. So it needs to be explained thoroughly to all parties involved, and they all need to sign that in order to consent for it.
Mm-hmm. And there's different types of multiple representation too. It's not just simply I have a buyer looking for my listing, is it?
No. And actually I experienced this quite recently. I had two buyers in the same price point, both wanting the same house. It was not my brokerage's listing. It was an outside listing. But now I'm representing two buyers.
Who may want to buy the same home.
And they did want to buy the same home. So, you know, that gets challenging in itself also, because for looking out for their best interests, and I know what one offer is, I still, you know, can't disclose that to buyer A from buyer B. So,
but you do have to disclose you're representing buyer A and buyer B.
Yep.
And I can imagine the expectations from both those buyers. If you have a good relationship, they're likely wondering why isn't Erin giving me the inside scoop on what's going on here? She knows how bad I want this house.
That's right.
Yeah, it could
be. That's a bit tricky.
It is tricky.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's ever happened to me. I'm not sure I've ever purchased a home that was listed by that same agent, so I don't think I've ever really come across that. But it's interesting to note that, because I would never – they should have like a radio show about realty that can really disclose all these. Oh, look.
We're here.
We're on one.
And then let's, you know, a reminder, go back to prior to January 1st, 1995, when there was no option for a buyer to be represented because all realtors were representing the seller. So even if you got, a wink from your realtor who's showing you around to different homes and that realtor says, let's get you the best price on this place. I mean, if they're actually at that time, if they were actually trying to get the best price on the place, they would be contravening the actual agency agreement. Yes. Of the day.
Absolutely.
This is Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 Truly Local Radio. Join Aaron, Dale, and myself after this short break. We'll be taking a look at looking a little further into multiple representation and the different ways that it can exist.
Do you want to personalize your business cards with a brand new logo, have a unique one-of-a-kind graphic on your car, or get that custom design to make your business stand out? Beyond Signs and Design in Cobourg does it all, from graphic design, window tinting, printing, and more. Their team of professional staff takes your ideas and turns them into something that is truly unique and one-of-a-kind. Visit them at 901 Division Street in Cobourg, give them a call at 905-377-0999 or visit their website at beyondsignsanddesign.com.
My dentures cause me nothing but pain and discomfort.
I can't eat the foods I like because my dentures feel loose.
My gums are so sore it's distracting.
At Apple Dentures, we believe that having dentures doesn't mean you should stop enjoying life. Whether it's loose dentures, new dentures, or implants, our clients have told us time and again how satisfied they were with their experience and their smile. Visit them in the Peter Street Plaza in Port Hope or online at appledentures.ca. Call today for a free consultation at 905-885-2121.
Apple Dentures. Giving your life more bite.
Questions, comments, or requests? Hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/Northumberland897.
As a local business owner, would you pay to advertise your service in a shotgun approach to a broad market or to an audience that is right for your business? Would you try and promote your business into another area code where there's three others doing what you do, or into your hometown where you're known as one of a kind? Northumberland 89.7 is specific and local for the people of Northumberland County. Northumberland 89.7 is unique and original, just like your business. Give us a call at 905-372-2391 or email us at sales@northumberland897.ca.
Welcome back. This is Reality Realty with Dave Smith. I like the way this one reads better. With Dave Smith, Dale Bryan. Too often it says Dale Bryan and Dave Smith. But with Dave Smith, Dale Bryan, and our guest today, Aaron Toms, real estate sales representative right here in Northumberland County, giving us some vital stuff. You've done some great blogs, and we're going to ask you at the end to direct people so that they can read up on this. I'm not buttering you up. I think you did a great job on several topics. So I encourage anyone who wants to get some real, you put it in such a way that it's easy to understand. There is so many big words, and so much real estate, in my experience, has sort of morphed over into legalese and lawyer speak for the common person. And I realize that there's legal aspects in there that have to be done. But, I love the fact that you wrote things. And I really learned a lot from the stuff you wrote. And it wasn't, 5 pages long. It didn't take me 20 minutes to read it. It was really well done. And I compliment you on that. So let's talk about a couple of other things here. What are the do's and don'ts? And we talked about multiple representation before. And a multiple representation, again, just to clarify, is where you might have a listing of yours and you're also representing a buyer, and a buyer comes in to buy one of your listings. So what are the do's and don'ts in a multiple representation scenario?
Okay. Well, the do's and don'ts are simply that, the brokerage shall not disclose to the buyer that the seller will or will not accept less than their asking price, unless, of course, they're instructed to do so. And if that's the case, it all has to be brought down to writing. And vice versa, we can't disclose to the buyer what the seller is willing to take for the property, or the motivation or personal reasons why someone is selling or purchasing. That also can't be disclosed. We can't advise on the price that the buyer should offer or the price that the seller should accept. And we can't disclose the terms of any other offer.
I have seen scenarios, and just in my limited you know, my limited exposure to this aspect of it, but I have seen scenarios, and I'm assuming this was the case, where it was a particular brand, and actually they had a different realtor there during the home inspection. Was that just coincidence on that part? Maybe there was just a conflict change, like where, for example, if it was your listing, Aaron, and you were representing the buyer, but you might get another realtor from your office come in and be present during the home inspection because of the possibility of sort of an arm's length.
No, because again, they're still represented by that brokerage, so it would have nothing to do with that. Chances are that was just likely a scheduling thing for the listing realtor, and she just didn't, or he didn't have time to be there, so they had someone.
So that was it. Was just another thing. So there's no issue with you being present during a home inspection of a house that is your listing. Is that a fair thing to say? Okay, that's fine. I just want.
And I mean, you really have nothing to do with the home inspection, right? That home inspector does their work, irregardless of who's present. It shouldn't look any different at the end of the day. And
well, where it can be an issue for me is the confidentiality clause. Again, I have my own legalese, as most certified inspectors will have. Confidentiality, I enter into an agreement with the buyer that I will not discuss any aspects of the inspection with anyone other than the person who hired me to do that. And that does include the buying or the selling agent. So sometimes it can be just as casual, and this has happened to me, where you're coming down off a ladder, coming out of the attic, and the selling agent in this particular scenario just casually said to me, any problems up there? And, you know, I could not answer the question because I'm really not supposed to answer that question. I'm not to be discussing it with anyone. It makes it a little uncomfortable, but that's why I kind of brought it up, is because there is aspects on my end and anyone who's entered into a contract with the buyer of that home, that I can only discuss it with the people, unless they've told me, yes, you can discuss it with Aaron, or yes, you can discuss it with Dale. Until I'm told that, I'm really not to discuss any aspects of that inspection with anyone except for the person I've entered the contract into. And that's why I brought it up.
The paying client. And and that's another thing too, Aaron, you mentioned just a few moments ago about not being able to share motivations for moving, because that could give a buyer some insight as to whether they're in the driver's seat or not. But once again, unless instructed differently by the seller, I mean, maybe the seller is looking for a bigger place, or maybe just downsizing. It's nothing that's in a hurry. So maybe sometimes you might, I know I might ask my seller, you know, can I share this with sellers? Because it'll put them at ease. It's not like you're running from the home. It doesn't disclose that you're in some sort of hurry that puts them in the driver's seat. It's just a very, you know, easy, noble reason for wanting to move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I, as an aside, with two renowned realtors in the room here with me, and I'm not saying that so that you guys can give me a bunch of pens, which would be good, though, because I'm short of pens. But I have been involved with an inspection not that long ago, where there was an emergency in the family and the realtor couldn't be there. And we had the buyer and the seller there together. And coincidentally, the seller was at the inspection. And that's a rarity as well. And the back and forth between these two gentlemen, while I was getting my tools ready and the questions they were asking me, I was like, wow, I really know why there should be two realtors here right now, because both the buyer and the seller were asking and answering questions that I know would have just raised the temperature of the room for the realtors, because they truly were free-flowing with their information that could have been damaging to both of them. And it really, not that I ever doubt that there's a need for Aaron and Dale in this world, but at that moment in time, I thought, boy, I really wish Aaron and Dale were here to save these gentlemen from themselves. But no, I mean, they were revealing, that the seller was revealing things about the house that he probably, you know, he might regret in the future, and the buyer was revealing things about what they loved about the house and what they would be willing to buy the house for. And I was just packing up my stuff and being really quiet. And actually, you know what the buyer actually said to me, the seller actually turned to me and said, so what happens now? Are you going to send me the report? When am I going to know? And asked me all these questions, and I was just quite happy to just say, well, I've really got to go right now. So it is good that you're there, and I think it's important you're there at all aspects of the transaction.
Well, Aaron, I would just like to thank you for joining us this morning. You're doing great work out there. Great information you're bringing forward to the public. I noticed a few more articles. What other kind of articles have you written since that three-part series on buyer representation?
I've done some on, you know, the value of a home inspection.
Yay!
The value of parents.
Well, you don't know what
she's prioritizing these?
Parents, you know, typically first-time buyers, like the seek mm-hmm. the advice of their parents and just the importance of having them right from the start, not bringing them in at the last house we look at.
Oh, yes. That can send you right back to square one, can't
it? It does. Yeah. It does. Yeah. But, you know, things like that, just things that I kind of notice throughout my either talking with other realtors or just, you know, my daily activities in real estate, just things seem to pop up in trends almost. Mm-hmm. So,
and if people want to start following the articles you're writing, where can they find them?
Well, I do my articles on my Facebook business page. So just simply searching on Facebook for Aaron Toms will lead them to my business page.
And you have two Facebook pages, so you might find the personal page first. Just keep looking.
Yeah, the one that says Northumberland Hills Realty yeah, will be the one.
And Aaron, if somebody is looking for strong agency representation, how can they get a hold of you?
They can give me a call at 289-252-2221, I believe.
You're trying to remember your own phone number.
I never call it.
You never call yourself.
There we go. Thanks, Aaron. And thanks to the listener for spending part of your morning with us. And we look forward to bringing you more real estate talk next week. And next week, we're going to have Mr. James McGrath. He's a local lawyer and also the host of Law Talk right here on Northumberland 89.7 every Tuesday at 12. This is really cool, Dale. It's just like when Homer Simpson crossed over into Family Guy on TV or when CSI Miami crossed over into CSI New York. You're looking at me. You're saying, what? It's two worlds colliding, Dale. That's what it's like. We're taking this show to a new plateau of technological advancement, not only for Reality Realty, but for 89.7 as a whole.
I don't even know what you just said, Dave.
I think it's great. He's going to be on the show, and we're going to bring real estate and lawyering together right here. So once Perfect. Again, thanks to Aaron Toms for joining us this morning. And if you have any questions or comments or any topic suggestions pertaining to real estate, please feel free to contact Dave by emailing dave@realityrealty.ca, or you can contact Dale if you really want to at dale@dalebryant.ca, or you can call into the radio station at 905-372-2391.
And please don't forget to send us in your funny real estate stories. Remember, we're not going to use any names, no brokerage names or realtor names, not even property addresses. But if you have an awkward story, a funny story, a noteworthy story, contact Dave and myself and let us know about it. We're going to put together a show with these stories, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Don't forget to join me, Dale Bryant, real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage, and Dave Smith, certified home inspector with Pillar to Post Home Inspectors, next Thursday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon for Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Until next week, folks.